then you will hear him call your name. And that's when you come out and you're the person that God's creating you to be. You're changed into a brand new person, not just a remodeled person, brand new person. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man or woman be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things passed away. All things are new. And then when people see us, they'll say, man, you've really changed. And you can say, it was all God. If it weren't for him, I'd be dead by now.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Gordero. Have you ever found yourself in a situation where you feel helpless and hopeless and God seems miles away, completely oblivious to your problem? Well, it happened in the story of Lazarus, as we'll see today. Jesus seemed to be taking his sweet time, but he was actually right on schedule. Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Lazarus, the great comeback.
Agreeing with God is when God asks me to do something I kind of want to do anyway. I agree with him. I don't really obey him. I just agree with him because it fits my palate. However, obedience is when, because agreeing is when God asks you to do something you want to do and you do it. Obeying God is when he asks you to do something you really don't want to do, but you still do it. That's where the change takes place. This is just getting comfortable with God. This is obeying God. See, a lot of us have agreed with God for years, but we haven't obeyed God for 5-6 years. When God asks us to do something, go to church. Oh, you bet, man, my girlfriend's there. Oh, you bet my golf buddies are there. Oh, you bet because, yeah, you bet I'll go. But if the Lord says, Wayne, I want you to give generously to this thing here. Oh, you know, man, that's just me thinking that. That's not God. That's not God. See, I agree a lot. I don't obey. And God has to get us to a point where we finally give up and say, got it. I am going to obey. I've given this illustration before, but it's sort of like if you're in an airplane at 32,000 feet, you're enjoying your cheese and crackers. You're enjoying the flight attendant's hospitality. Everything is going good. All of a sudden, you hear on the right side of the fuselage something go kaboom, and one engine goes out. And all of a sudden, you're tilting, going, and you think, oh no. And all of a sudden, kaboom, on the other side of the fuselage. And you're just bulleting towards the earth. People are screaming. Wigs are on the ceiling by this time. And people who've never prayed before are praying like crazy. They're making vows to God. And they're going down to hit terra firma. And you'll hear people saying, God, I'll be good. I'll quit cussing, quit yelling at my wife. I'll quit drink anything you want me to do, God. I am yours. Now, you're going down towards the earth. And the pilot is pulling back on the ailerons and doing everything he can to get that thing going. And all of a sudden, you hear one engine start up again. And then another one starts. And then you're just about ready to hit ground. But now that belly of that plane is pulling up eventually and scraping the tops of the trees. Everyone's still praying like they were saints of old. And then that plane gets up. Finally, it gets back up to 32,000 feet. Whew. But you know what? When you were going down, you're making decisions, commitments you would have never made at 32,000 feet. You make them at 3 feet. Your life changes. You say to God, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. And there's a heart change. But you know what? A lot of times when we're back at 32,000 feet, here's what God says. Now, Wayne, you're back at 32,000 feet, but never forget the commitments you made at 3 feet. The reason I took you to three feet, is because you would have never made those decisions at 32,000. Do we get mad at God for taking us down to 3 feet? No. Delaying 2 more days, 3 more days, 5 more days. Sometimes we do. We blame God. We get mad at God. We abandon our faith. We abandon everything because of the delays of God when God is saying, You see, suffering will change you, but not necessarily for the better. You must choose that. When God takes you down to 3 feet, we can get mad at God and say, forget it then. If you're going to do this, you're going to kill me. I don't care. And we keep a hardened heart, or you can say, Lord, I'm good. Whatever you want me to do, I'm yours. I'm completely yours. I trust in you now with all my heart. And if I don't live, I'm done. But if I do, it's all God. And then when you're back at 32,000 feet, you say, everything I have is God's, not me. It's God. And then the Lord says, good. Because you see, when you come to the end of your rope, you come to the beginning of his power. Can I say that again? When you come to the end of your rope, you'll come to the beginning or the start of his power. But before that, it's still me, right? Just help me when I need help. Otherwise, stay in the trunk. And God is saying, no, I got to take you to 3 feet, Wayne. And when I do, things start to change. So I'm just going to hang on, and I'm going to let you be in there for 4 days. And I'm going to delay. That's why he said, this sickness is not unto death. It's for the glory of God. I've got a plan. Please write somewhere else. Don't put a period where God puts a comma. Sometimes we just bail out of everything. Well, if that's the way they're going to treat me, I'm done. If that's the way it is, I'm out of here. No. The Lord often allows 2 more days to get us to 3 feet so that we make the decisions we should have made back then, but we wouldn't. You remember in the Old Testament, in the book of 2 Kings, there's a man named Naaman. Naaman, and they called him the leper. He was actually a commander of the Aramean army, one of actually the opponents of Israel. And this commander that stars on his shoulders had leprosy, blisters on his arms and his chest. And he said, is there any way that I can be healed? And one of the people said, you know, there's a prophet down there named Elisha. And he prays for people and they get healed. No way, yeah, go down there. So he takes all this money and silver and presents and gifts, and they scurry down to Elisha's house. And they go to Elisha's house, and he says, you know, give this to Elisha so he'll come out and pray over me. Elisha doesn't even come out of his house. He sends a messenger and says, I don't want any of his gifts. Just tell him this, go to the Jordan River and dip himself 7 times. Messenger said, excuse me? Yes, 7 times. Okay. So he goes back out and he says to the commander, you got to go to the Jordan and like dunk yourself 7 times. And Naaman the leper says, that's about the stupidest thing I have ever heard. I'm not going to do that. Do you know that the Jordan River right now is muddy? It stinks. It's no good. I've got better rivers up here. I've got the Willamette, and I've got the Mackenzie. I've got South Umpqua. No, you got to go to the filthy, stinky Jordan. That is so dumb. And the servants will say, wait a minute. I mean, I know it's dirty. It's kind of like Fern Ridge, but you got to go there. And the guy says, no, that's dumb. And the servant says this, if the prophet would have asked you to go to the top of Mount Everest, would you to get healed? Yeah. This is just in a river. Sorry, it's muddy, but 7 times. So he said, oh, man, this makes me mad. So he goes to the Jordan River, takes off his, you know, general's coat, and the servant says, 7 times. He gets into the river. This is stupid. 7 times, sir. No pictures. 7 times. So he goes under. Pew. This stuff stinks. Yeah, 6 more. Ridiculous. Now watch. Listen carefully. God is more interested in what's happening in you than what's happening to you. Because a lot of times we want God to change what's happening to me. Don't mess with the stuff that's happening in me, because I'm in charge of that. Remember, suffering will change you, but not necessarily for the better. You have to choose that. What's happening in you to God is way more important than what's happening to you. 2nd time. Man, this is so bad. You got the shower going. This is ridiculous. 5 more. Sir, remember, if he would have asked you to go up to Everest, yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm proud. Yeah, you're right. 3. I am proud, huh, Lord? I think if you asked me to do this 40 times, I would, but sorry. 4. Poof. Servant says, you're doing good, sir. 3 more. I'm fine. 5. By the time he comes up on the 6, he's saying, Lord, would you forgive me for being such a proud man? I need to just be obedient, even if I don't understand stuff. 7. Lord, I'm so sorry. Please, servant goes, sir, master, look, the blisters on your arm is gone. Your chest, it's clear. See, what happened inside of him released what God wanted to do to him. God's way more concerned about what happens in you. Because you can go through a beguiling or a betrayal and you can get bitter. You can get upset, wounded. Did you know in the body of Christ, a lot of times there's a lot of walking wounded. And we go around and it makes us bitter. We abandon God and God has to take us to 3 feet. And then we say, got it, Lord. I'm yours. Not half, not a quarter, not even 90%. Whatever you say, Lord, I'm willing. The Lord goes, good. That's where I wanted you. And now I'm going to take you up to 32, maybe 35, maybe 40,000 feet. And you'll be cruising along. But don't ever forget what happened at 3 feet. And then you will hear him call your name. Lazarus, come forth. And that's when you come out. And you're the person that God's creating you to be. You're changed into a brand new person. Not just a remodeled person, brand new person. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man or woman be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are new. And then when people see us, they'll say, man, you've really changed. And you can say, it was all God. If it weren't for him, I'd be dead by now. But he delayed. There's a reason, and a good one too. Everything changes. Let me conclude with a story that is like this, but I was reading a scripture in the book of Matthew, and it's pretty cryptic. It says, and the Lord Jesus is called the cornerstone. And the scripture says this in Matthew 21, it says, he who falls on this stone, or the cornerstone of Christ, he who falls on this stone will be broken. But those upon whom it falls will be ground to powder. I don't understand this stuff. So I just start digging deeper. Lord, what do you mean? You wrote it in there, and I know the nuance might be old or different. But what are you talking about? And then I began to slowly understand that the Lord says, if you follow me, there's going to be times in your life you'll be broken, but it's okay. Because when I put you back together, you'll be a new person. Now, you can stay broken and walk as a walking wounded. But if you do, that suffering will have changed you into anger, bitterness, blaming others, excusing others, and then abandoning what I've called you to do, and then it'll all seem right. But you'll be walking wounded, and it won't be long before your soul will be ground to dust. On the other hand, if you come to me, fall on me, lean on me, you may be broken, but I will put you together and call you forth, and you'll be a new person. I may delay for a few days, but there's a reason, so that you'll abandon your old myths and say, Lord, I'm ready. And God says, good, let's activate the power of God, and you'll be a brand new person. You know Bernie Federman, he speaks here sometime. He's not right now. He's just got a knee replacement. But he and I have been lifelong friends for nigh into 35, 40 years. And he tells a story of, he was on the ethics committee of a denomination, and there was a pastor there that had fallen. I don't know, I can't remember if it was a marital situation or a money situation, but after a while, to be restored into the ministry, you have to go before an ethics committee who actually assesses whether or not there was, you know, all of the accounts have paid and all of the balances are made and everyone is cool. And then there's a restoration process. Well, this guy was in this ethics committee and Bernie was a part of that. And questions were asked. Are you, you know, did you repent on this? Did you make this right yet? Have you done this? And this person would say, yeah, I was beguiled or I was betrayed by so-and-so. And, and that really hurt me. And, well, what about your marriage? Yeah, well, she left me. I didn't leave her. And every question, it was like somebody else's fault. And there was always an alibi, always a rationale, always a reason why. And Bernie just stood up and said, you know, this isn't going to work. And the guy said, why? I mean, I'm telling you all of these things. This is not going to work. Why? Bernie said, because you've indeed been wounded, but you are yet to be broken. You see, if we're just walking wounded, it's everybody else's fault still. It's this person, it's that, it's this and that. And the Lord said, you know, I'm going to delay for a couple of days and let you stay in that tomb. And I'm going to take you down to about 3 feet till your wig is on the ceiling and you cry out to God. And at that moment, on that seventh dip, your heart changes. And that's when healing begins and resurrection takes place. And you'll hear me call your name, Lazarus, come forth. And when you do, you can say to people, if it weren't for God, I wouldn't be here. And people will see that you're a brand new person. Not just religious, you're brand new. Not just someone condescending, someone that's a spiritual. No, you're a brand new person. Why? Because God has resurrected you. And that's what we want to be. So that when people see us, they'll say, wow, you've really changed. You can honestly say, it's all God. And mean it. And when you do, he gets the glory. This sickness is not unto death, but it's to bring glory to God. That's what he wants us to be. People who bring glory to God. Can you say amen? Amen, amen, and amen. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. If you've never surrendered to Jesus, please do. It'll be the most victorious surrender you've ever made. It'll be the most eternal decision you'll ever make. 150 people on Easter surrendered their hearts to Jesus. Is that cool or what? 150. Amazing. We'll always have prayer counselors to my left and your right. And after service, go up and pray with them if you need prayer. But right now in your hearts, just say, Lord, you don't need to take me to 3 feet. I'm good. And then the power of God begins. Watch. You wait. You'll see. We're going to pray, and then we'll have a final song that kind of concludes this message about Lazarus. Would you bow your heads? Father, thank you so much that these biblical accounts find us in the middle of that story. And you actually put those stories there so that we, like a mirror, can see ourselves and what you said, you're still saying, what you did, you're still doing. And then we get to know you. We don't want to be religious where we can study the text but miss the Savior. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be a people where others will see a transformation. When they ask, we can truly say, it's God. It's just God. And in doing so, people will even ask, how do I get there? So may we be the people of God like that. And we know that there's going to be times in our life where brokenness will happen, but we're going to lean on you when that happens. And you can put us back together again. So glad. And when you do, we'll be a brand new person. Thank you. Thank you for raising us up to be the people of God. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And we say together, would you seal that with a clap offering? Come on, here we go. Calling us out from the grave.
thing that fills your veins was more than blood. It's a kind of love that washes it away. Now the door is open wide and the stone's been pulled aside. The old is gone, the light is gone. So come on and rise up, take your breath.
Pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Would you bow your heads? Father, thank you for a wonderful family called New Hope. We ask that as we leave this place, we will leave a little more like you. And Lord, I pray that we will surrender the things of the past. We don't want to be walking wounded. We want to be those that are walking alive in Christ, because you have put to death those things that we held on to. Lord, we don't want to be the ones in charge and asking you just to help us a little bit. We want to have you in charge. And we will be followers of Christ, not leaders of Christ, followers of Christ. So Lord, lead us, we pray. We ask that you would help us to have hearts fully devoted to you in this season. Thank you for this wonderful family again. And Jesus, how we love you. Thank you for calling our name. In Jesus' name, we pray and we say together, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Give somebody a hug on your way out. Would you please?
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Lazarus, the Great Comeback by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We trust it has encouraged you and strengthened your faith, especially if you find yourself in one of those Lazarus experiences. Remember, the answer to your prayer will always be right on schedule. Don't ever give up.
There's so much more to New Hope West than what you hear on the radio or podcast. Each Sunday, experience the full service live from Eugene, Oregon, with inspiring worship, music and dance, creative skits, powerful testimonies, and an uplifting message from God's Word.
Whether you're nearby or miles away, you can join the New Hope West family online every Sunday at 8 a.m., 9:30 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. Pacific Time.
Visit live.newhopewest.com and experience the joy of worship together wherever you are. That's live.newhopewest.com.
Until next time, for all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have an amazing day in your walk with Jesus Christ. Aloha.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. My passion is seeing men and women come to Christ and grow into leaders who plant churches and reach the world for Christ. That's why we started New Hope International. It's a ministry that has helped plant more than 150 vibrant churches worldwide. When you give, you're not just sponsoring a distant ministry, you're investing in eternity.
You're helping to plant churches and raise leaders and train young men and women to take the gospel around the globe. I'd love to send you a copy, a signed copy, of my book, Jesus Pure and Simple. And to make your gift of $20 or more and receive your copy, just visit liferesources.cc. Again, that's liferesources.cc. And together, let's raise leaders, plant churches, and change the world for Christ.